Hello and welcome to this episode of Spoon, the Tick versus the Podcast, the internet's only podcast dedicated solely to the Tick and his animated and eventually hopefully live action incarnations.
We hope.
My name is Tim. I am joined by my beautiful, beautiful co-hosts, Derek.
Hello, everybody.
And Steven.
I'm not feeling all that beautiful today, but hopefully you won't be able to tell everyone.
Because you are beautiful, huh? In every single way.
So we were
I was thinking it, and he started singing it.
Yeah, I decided to sing the Christina Aguilera song as Ivan Neville. Everybody plays a fool sometimes.
Oh, good. We'll get sued by two people.
To see them in court together on the other side is worth it.
That's a super group.
Yeah. Aaron and Xtina in court suing us. So
see, we were on break for a few weeks. I was going to say that we were on break. Now we're back, and you're going to get sick of us, actually. Everyone.
Everyone will be sick of us. Because two episodes in 2 weeks? Oh, God. Won't those guys ever go away?
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
So, anyway.
The caffeine's kicked in. Yeah. Let's tick.
The episode that we're going to be doing today, it was released on September 23rd, 1995. We don't mention the release dates as often as probably we should. But yeah, this came out. I was a spry 19-year-old boy watching cartoons. Mm-hmm. I was in college at this point. I was a freshman in school. Steve, you were still in high school, right? You were a senior.
Fall of 95?
Fall of 95.
I was a junior.
You were a junior.
I was.
You were 1 year below me.
It was not an easy time.
Steve was a wee lad. A wee lad. Aww.
I was a whopping 15.
Okay. So you were just coming into your own. You were listening to heavy metal to rebel against your parents, and then you found the Chronic. The record by Dr. Dre. Nothing illegal.
I was still wearing an armband in honor of Kurt Cobain, and that had been a year and a half.
It was a full year and a half later, and you were like, I'm never going to get into this Foo Fighters.
Yeah,
he's coming back. I swear, he's coming back.
Was still bitching about Batman Forever at this point. Jim Carrey didn't play the Riddler. he played the Joker. Basically, what were they thinking?
Joygasm. So
to the episode.
To the episode. Yes, this is Armless but Not Harmless. A good episode, in my opinion. Not the greatest of episodes, but a good episode.
Let's not poison them against it.
Oh, they're all turning it off right now.
Yeah, we're not going to listen to one. This was just a good one. I'm noticing on IMDb it's listed as 7.9 out of 10. So it's a full 0.7 less than our last episode.
Right, but these are the same nerds who like rate, you know, Hardcore Henry like a 10.10 because they saw it that weekend, and then
I saw it opening weekend, and I did get a headache from Hardcore Henry, but it was a good kind of headache. It's the kind of headache you get after you ride Superman the Ride 4 times.
Did anybody see that movie opening weekend?
No, I didn't bother with that stuff. I don't need GoPro videos. I don't need to go to the theater to see them anyway.
So we're lazy this week, and we are just, even though this is on the DVD, we're going to go YouTube in it. So if you type in, we're on the Nostalgia Tunes Network. But if you type the search, the Tick Armless, it should be the first one that comes up. So,
and that's usually pretty good about putting the link in with the episode guide.
Yeah.
So,
and Derek has been doing something where we can't hear it right now, but Derek has been laying the audio track underneath these episodes, which is very
lucky
nice.
Audio track.
Mm. Hey.
So that will, for those of you who are listening in your car and are not watching it on a computer, television, or iPhone, we that it makes things much more enjoyable. So thank you, Derek, for going that extra mile.
Well, of course. I think this week, though, we'll do the Chronic since you brought it up.
Yeah. Boo, woo, 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 woo. That's the worst.
We're going to turn this off and start again. Yeah. Folks.
Hello and welcome to. So anyway, if you get yourself to YouTube, I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, go. And then when I say go, that's when you hit play. All right, here we go. Not that go.
That, yeah, see, already complicated.
You're fine. You fucked me, Tim. You said go.
Here we proceed.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, go. 6:30 a.m. every week. This was shown, I think, in Eastern Standard Time. I think this was shown at 10:30. 10 or 10:30 on Saturday mornings.
That's good detail right there.
Yeah.
And did the 6:30 confuse you when you were watching this at 10:30?
It's 6:30 in Hawaii.
Even when I was a kid getting up for Saturday morning cartoons, I wasn't doing no 6:30 a.m. No.
6:30 had the worst. It was like you would see like the Inhumanoids, Filmation's Ghostbusters. That was always the shit on at 6:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. You wake up, there's like spent pixie sticks all around your bed.
I would get up, and I knew I had slept just long enough when I could watch the closing credits of Captain Noah.
Wow!
Before the real entertainment.
Did you send him your pictures?
Send your pictures to dear old Captain Noah.
Captain Noah.
Still alive, by the way, from what I understand.
Is he?
How is that even possible?
So the sea is gone. We see Ha, and there's a bite out of the moon now.
Yeah,
it's very Pac-Man-esque.
Yeah.
So we know that these were aired in the proper order.
Yes,
I guess because the continuity.
Hank Tucker directly. There's a new villain.
That's a very funny tiny touch there. That the Tick and Arthur with their hands out. And yeah. Usually the Tick would have his chest puffed up and something loud and broad to say, but no, they're just standing there with their arms out. Like we've done this before. Or is it foreshadowing? Now that I think about it,
they were waiting and just doing some calisthenics. The back
strained with this episode, decency. As opposed to the Omnipotence one where it was very clearly, it's clear what they were drawing from, you know, what they were parodying. This one, to me, I'm not so clear on if these villains are patterned after anyone.
This kind of reminds me of, like, villains from the Batman TV series, kind of. It's sort of, seems like they could have used this Venus hypnotist in a Batman episode.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very campy in that style. And the only thing I could find online is that Venus is supposed to resemble the that fertility statue. And it's called the Venus of Willendorf.
Hmm. So, okay.
And if you look her up on the old internets there, it's a pretty similar look. You know, with the beaded hair and the big body. And
so she combines the Venus of Willendorf with the Venus statue that we know without the arms.
Yeah.
Nice additional detail. And now that I'm thinking about it, there is an obscure Avenger who will probably never make it into the movie, although I should never say never, considering how many characters they're adding. But
hey, they are talking.
Star Fox. Or Eros of Titan. Was this, if you've ever read any like 80s Avengers, he was this charmer and he literally had like a pleasure power. He could remotely stimulate the pleasure centers of your brain. And then so villains wouldn't want to fight anymore. And that was his power.
I do like that the Tick is afraid to come into the ladies' room, and when he finally does it, when he finally kicks the door open, he covers his eyes.
Quite the gentleman.
the voice of Venus was an actress by the name of Linda Gary,
as all good Tick voice actors are, almost all.
And she has a really long track record here on.
Yes, she does.
The one thing I found interesting, I guess she's best known for. He-Man. She was. Where was the voice?
She was most of the female voices on He-Man, if I remember. Yeah. But she was actually
Teela.
She was actually
Teela was the biggest name. And then, yeah,
I don't understand.
She was actually Aunt May in at least two versions of the Spider-Man cartoons over the years, possibly three versions.
She, and interestingly enough, I'm, as I'm looking at her bio here, she died a mere 2 weeks after this episode aired.
Oh, no.
She died October 5th, 1995.
Oh, no. She died of a broken heart about that Riddler crap, too, I guess, huh?
Yeah, it took a little longer.
And what the hell was Tommy Lee Jones doing? He had no idea.
Blind, stinking, doodah luck. So, yeah, another dead villain.
There's a nice touch. There's the darts in the tick poster, but then there's a knife to remind you that, you know, this villainy is serious business.
And the voice of Milo, her love interest, and I knew this was going to eventually come up, is Garrett Graham. And he was the voice on The Critic. He was Franklin.
A favorite of mine and Tim's. And you too, Derek?
Absolutely.
Who wants to dance with Baby New Year?
Yeah,
we had.
What's that going?
We had Garrett at a convention a few years back, and it was the job of the staff to continually get him to quote lines from The Critic. And
really?
If you were looking for anybody on the staff, his table would be the one to go to because he was just cracking us up all weekend long.
Damn. Milknaw.
Milknaw. Yeah.
I like how one of his, I mean, he's a man of many vocal talents, but obviously one of his specialties was the, like, upper crust. Yeah. Boy, you know, the waspy voice, which in this, as Milo in this episode, you can hear it, and then you can hear how he, I guess maybe pretty much at the same time, just modified that slightly, and now it was like a pseudo Franklin Roosevelt impression, which is what he's doing in The Critic.
He would have made a very good Mr. Howell on the animated Gilligan show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did that happen yet? Has that ever happened?
Oh, yeah.
The animated Gilligan's Island?
Oh, yeah. That was back in the 70s, I believe, or maybe early 80s.
That's right. They, you know, they appeared on the Harlem Globetrotters.
And there's the tick. It just so happens that he jumps into Venus's. And she, look at her eyes. She just wants to eat him alive. It's the tick. He just happens. Well, I mean, as luck would have it, Venus is riding just beneath the tick's apartment. You would think that that it would be common knowledge where the tick lives.
Yes, he makes no secret of going in and out of that very bland-looking apartment building.
Yeah. I like the touch of them making it that the tick is actually too big to be sitting in the back of that photo. Yeah. You know, okay. They didn't bother to shrink him down or anything.
She just has love in her eyes when she sees him, like just pure glee and love.
Yeah. Poor Milo.
Yeah. He's such the cuckold.
He is, and I've wondered when watching this, is he actually just the first victim of her hypnosis, or is he like the one guy who actually loves her of his own volition?
He might be the one that actually does love her, because I wonder if the others, when they're not in her presence, if it fades away. Like those security guards that were crying earlier.
Uh-huh.
Like, are they fine now, or are they still, like, you know, lamenting the loss of their one true love?
That's a great question, Tim. It would be like the world's most comfortable chair. Right? Like,
yeah.
The guy who managed to finally escape the terrible chair. Wait, did we do that one, or has that yet to come up?
That hasn't happened.
No, that's a future.
Ah, okay. Well, then I shall say no more. But
can you imagine the horror if this actually happened to you? I mean,
yeah, but at least the wounds were instantly cauterized. You know, that kind of removes some of the shock.
I mean, I know that this has happened in war, like in D-Day and stuff. You know, people having their arms blown off, and then. Or there's that scene where in Timber Ryan where the guy has his arm blown off and he picks it up.
Yeah.
I can't imagine a horror. I mean, I would literally be like Arthur right now. I'd be screaming.
Yeah.
He'd be laughing at me.
It's another great chance for Rob Paulson's patented scream.
Come on, Arthur. We'll call for
assistance. But there it is. But pragmatic guys, they're already...
They already figured out how to use a phone.
How did they get the coins in there?
toes.
How'd they get the coins out of the pocket?
Exactly.
Oh, penises.
And while I know the action's getting into full swing, but I can't let this episode pass without mentioning I love Milo's use of Latin phrases sprinkled throughout the episode, which is again one of those things like kids couldn't possibly care less.
No,
but
and
but the writer
percent of American adults,
right.
Good neither. The dumbing of America. You're going to make mommy very, very infamous, aren't you? Look at that. Is he wearing a little tutu? Like I'm curious what his costume is supposed to represent.
I think he's supposed to be Cupid.
Oh.
Hey guys, where are your arms?
We don't want to talk about it.
Just give us a BLT and two sodas.
Cupid, who was Eros, and was like a little attendee of the love goddess herself, Venus, or if you like the Greek, Aphrodite.
Yeah.
This is a very educational episode of Spoon.
Tick. That's about us.
I do a mythological podcast on the side, guys. The thing is, it doesn't change much. It's all pretty much been written.
I do like that you see these robots, but everybody's like, that's quite clearly the Tick and Arthur. Without a doubt.
I wonder if that's like a mini commentary on the fact that pretty much every superhero is eventually impersonated in some some plot line where the villain smears the good guy by impersonating him and committing crimes, and the people seem pretty stupid if they can't like notice the little differences that
Tick goes bad.
Yeah, that soda jerk was the one who ratted them out there.
Tick and lingerie heist. Ooh la la.
That soda jerk name fits him.
Yeah.
Tick's woman wear
game. Oh. You gotta like the little touch of Tick covering Arthur and make sure he's warm.
It is sweet. Now, we've seen Arthur shaving before. You could scratch your when he's wakes up. But after days and days of being vagrants on the street, he doesn't appear to have any scruff.
Speaking of shaving, that just reminded me of the live action Tick where the Tick was trying to shave and he had the shaving cream. He was like, I am the man of La Mancha. La Mancha. See, Steve, the live action has its merits.
It does. It just shouldn't be the Tick. It should be like, I don't know, Patrick Warburton walking around doing stuff. I don't know. If anything, if this episode has anything it's clearly wants to skewer, it's obviously award shows. I'm sure we'll
find her there. Yes.
Any good deconstructive comedy eventually gets around to poking fun at award shows.
I do like we pretty much get a nice rundown of the Rogues Gallery here.
Yeah, you definitely get to see some of the old villains
scouring the docks.
We revisit the Evil Cafe, and that song that the girl was singing in the Evil Cafe is playing now in the background.
Oh, a lot of velour.
Yep,
maybe she had a crossover hit.
Villainous door person, step aside. Don't make it. Guess I love you.
It's a belly shirt too. That's unsettling.
Yeah, but the neck on it is really weird.
What's up with that?
What's the deal? These are a lot of. I recognize the crease and eyebrows and Jack Tuber, but there are some other ones.
There's a few. Yeah. This guy looks like the Hobgoblin back there. Gimme on his forehead.
Yeah. A Mad Midnight Bomber in the background.
I hope that's
or a version of him.
It's got to be. If it's him, they should have given him some lines.
And there's a guy from the Leather Bar right there.
Oh, yeah. Looks like somebody from Warrior of the Lost World.
Where is that award ceremony? Oh, my God. Wait a
second. Eyebrows Mulligan. Is that Wolverine back there? Or he's sort of got a Doctor Strange cape.
Yeah. Dr. Wolverine. Yeah, the worst.
He's got a Doctor Strange cape with like Ra's al Ghul elements from the Batman animated
Spock's
series.
Face.
Wow. We need to do a whole episode about that guy.
No way, mister.
It's a really lovingly rendered cat.
Yeah. And I like how they don't even go to like stock audio. They actually just get a guy who just goes mew.
Alrighty, Arthur. This is it. Maneuver 14B.
The classic, the hero's choice, the unwinnable scenario, the Kobayashi Maru.
Now, how is that even possible? How did he get up on Tick's shoulders?
Arthur's been doing squats.
I can see someone being able to do that without arms. If the Tick was to squat over, and Arthur was to straddle him.
In all my fan fiction, he does. This had to be one of the Tick's most difficult moments to overcome. No arms. Cat in the mouth. Sidekick on top of him.
Now, do you think Townsend was a method actor and actually held a kitten in his mouth as he delivered those lines?
Not if PETA was on set. Or SPCA, I mean.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but is the hostess that Mindy Mulford?
Yeah, I was going to mention that earlier because she was in the commercial.
Yeah, so easy.
So how'd they get away with it this time? What happened to the Mole King?
Yeah, it looks just like Mindy Mulford. She has a different voice.
That's the episode
the
I missed.
Character model. What if there's a dress code?
He says to me, I forgot the bomber does get it. Nope. He does get some lines. No one gets in without an invitation.
The big Asian guy, he's like, odd job.
One of these days, milkshake!
Milkshake.
This was
going to be harder than I
thought. Thank you, Tick creators, for bringing him back.
Yes.
Albeit so briefly. Come on,
Arthur. Definitely one of my favorite villains on this show.
Yeah. This is, and was so appropriate for the time. That's these costume dancers for these ridiculous Academy Awards dance interludes that they would have to do. You know, where they like interpretively dance whatever movies were nominated that year.
And I like how serious they are about their job.
The Academy of Evil.
And that's. Doing. Sounds like the terror to me.
I like how even the stagehands are evil. there's an entire like union of evil for every possible thing. Well, we have evil stagehands, we have an evil lighting director, you know, evil orchestra,
right. Well, evil octopus band, yeah.
And these stagehands are probably trying to work their way up to head scenic designer, you know, or
see, there's evil Mindy Mulford.
SNL, one of the evil tropes here that they're embodying. You got the Reptar or the Godzilla, the Kaiju. Yeah. You got the moon, and there's one guy dressed as an SNL. Evil.
Evil.
That guy looks like one of the Backstreet Boys, or like he should be in some like new metal band, maybe.
Yeah, it looked like that guy that Daria was always crushing after, right?
Is that 70s era George Takei right there behind her?
Oh my!
Don't make this character gay. It's not the way Ben Endlund wanted it. He created a new gay character for the Tick.
I have a thought about that, but I'll save it.
I do like that the award for evilness is a thumb coming down on the planet. Like, fuck off. A thumb.
Unhand my hands, you mechanized menace. You feel
very angry. I would love to meet Garrett Graham, if it's not too late.
Oh, it's. I don't believe it is.
He's still alive. As at the time of this recording, he's still alive.
Now, I don't know the date of release, but is there a possibility that Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey was inspired by this episode? Since they had the evil robot usses.
I think this was post. I think that had already been released.
Bogus Journey, I think, came out in 92.
Well, then maybe it's the other way around.
Now, the addition of this Plunger Man is a very nice touch. I always wonder in episodes like this, the script gets written and then they work it, they workshop it, and they say, I just still need something. We need a third or fourth edition. But the Plunger Man character sounds to me very much like a Bill Murray impression from Caddyshack.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that was intentional, Carl Spackler?
I didn't really think of that. Ooh, thumbs up.
Hey, buddy. You need those?
do I ever.
So you'd think they get
a little Vivaldi stick there. Thank you, Doug Casares. That's it's like Vivaldi Spring, isn't it?
I learned that from Looney Tunes.
Excuse me a moment, won't you?
And they've been collared.
Obviously been a mistake. I will say that that Venus is a lovely BBW. After all, huh? I'm all medium. Come on, big beautiful woman.
Now, let's go. Yeah, and Milo makes a great
I can understand
twink.
Why people would want to be with her. Well, we're sorry for the very soft and warm. Tick, aren't we, fellas?
Yeah, much. Yeah, I am. If you say so. Oh no, gentlemen.
Gotta love the police having to apologize.
Very sorry.
Sorry, we were so dumb to think that you guys had bucket heads all of a sudden.
Had it not been absolutely necessary and in the service of a greater good.
So, you know, where are they? Night court? When evil is
afoot, you don't have any some jazz bass playing. And when a little evil Jaco Pastorius, a little weather report.
You've got to do the legwork. But when you can't get a leg up, you got to be hip. You got to keep your chin up.
Got to be hip.
Tick. We get the idea.
Well then, sidekick, give me some of them arms.
Oh, okay.
Don't pretend you don't like it, Arthur.
A hello to arms.
What child didn't love an Ernest Hemingway reference?
No. That's funny. That's a great thing.
So,
well,
so do you feel? Is your opinion slightly higher of the episode now that you've?
It is. Now that I've rewatched it and talked about it with you guys, it is. It's still not Alone Together, but it is. I wouldn't even put it up in the Thrakazog, but it is a good episode. A very good episode.
Yeah, it's a good episode. I wouldn't, you know, I mean, I wouldn't say it was as good as the previous episode or other ones that we've seen so far this season.
Well, maybe we've made it better.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the only thing that we're trying to do in this world. Let's see what's next. What's the next episode we got to do? Is it Coach Fussell's Lament?
It depends on where you look.
Because I recall you pointed out that two episodes were on the same day. Both were on September 30th.
Right. It shows on IMDb, I believe, that they're both on September 30th. But everywhere else I'm seeing, I think Leonardo is supposed to be the next one.
So should we? Well, either way, it'll either be Leonardo or Coach Fussell's Lament. But we shall. Whenever you listen to the next episode, you'll know what that answer is. Well, all right.
So listen to both of them, or watch both of them, just to be prepared.
Yeah, prepare yourselves, kids. Oh, and by the way, around the time this is recording, at the time we're recording this about a month away from. The Amazon Tick. I don't know if it's a series or if it's just a one-off movie.
Are we dropping the bombshell here? Is that what this is?
Well, we're just sort of mentioning it. We're okay. Trying okay. To work out some things where we might have some involvement with that in some very minor fashion. But
yes, very very minor.
But we're hoping to have some involvement in that. But you never know. Things could fall through. Yes. Things could be awesome.
All right.
From what I'm saying, mid August is when that's coming on Amazon. So, we'll at least discuss that upon its release, and hopefully we'll be able to talk with some of the cast and creators if we're able to.
So. Well, way to keep it small, Tim. I guess.
Yes.
But yeah, I understand. You want to be pragmatic and realistic.
Yeah, we don't know what's happening, but there'll at least be a discussion on that film.
And Tim's planning on breaking onto the set and
yeah.
Hiding in the wardrobe area.
I do want to be the Thrakazog of the new series. So anyway, but yeah, hopefully that stuff pans out and doesn't fall through. If it falls through, we're not going to mention it ever again. This will be the only mention of it. So,
hardly a mention. So,
yeah, yeah, barely.
Our asses are covered.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, until next time. Anybody want to say badoosh? I guess I just said it.
I think that said it all.
It works for me.